Good evening, and welcome to the Astoria City Council meeting, August 21st, 2017. Glad to see you here. A lot of people, looks like they're still hungover from the eclipse or whatever. Okay, roll call. Let's see, Deputy Chief Halverson.
Councilor Nimmo.
Here.
Councilor Price.
Here.
Councilor Jones.
Here.
Mayor Lanier.
Here, thank you. And Tom, Councilor Brownson is excused. Okay, reports of councilors. Councilor Nimmowell.
Thank you, Mayor. Tina Fey on Saturday Night Live, in response to the events in Charlottesville, had quite a lot to say, and I'm not going to tell you everything that she said. I hope that you've watched it, and if you haven't, you should look it up on YouTube, just Tina Fey cake, and you'll find it. But she said, "It broke my heart to see these evil forces descend upon Charlottesville. A lot of us are asking ourselves, what can I do? I would urge people, order a cake with the American flag on it and just eat it." She goes on to say, "Sheet caking is a grassroots movement most of the women I know have been doing once a week since the election." So my mother-in-law got me a sheet cake with an American flag on it, and it's in the room over there. And after the meeting tonight, if the meeting doesn't go too long, Mayor, we can all enjoy some sheet caking. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Okay, let's see. Councilor Jones.
Evening, Madam Mayor. I wanted a quick shout out to Public Works Department. I had a call from Mill Pond Homeowners Association about an overgrown area just west of Mill Pond, north of the Walter E. Nelson. And I drove by there to take a look at it, and it had really turned into a jungle there with blackberries and scotch broom, and there were people hanging out in there at night making residents uncomfortable, and I really appreciate Mr. Nelson sending his folks out to clean that up the very next day. It's very, very good. And then I just also wanted to thank fire department staff, police department, and all our other city officials who helped make last weekend's regatta events safe for the community as far as our physical safety. Thank you.
Councilor Price.
No report, although if I had known we were going to have sheet cake, I would have brought a grilled cheese sandwich.
Okay, I think my only report is that we all had a great time at Regatta. It was the 123rd, I believe, Regatta, and very successful, and I think we all enjoyed it and look forward to next year. The only thing I heard was we needed more bands, so we'll have to work on that. But other than that, I heard great reports about the regatta. Any changes to the agenda?
There are no changes to the agenda, but there is one item I'd like to discuss with the council under new business. Won't require any action being taken tonight as far as any action on a specific item.
Okay, great, thank you. The next thing on our agenda is the consent calendar, and these are considered routine, and we'll just do one motion unless someone on the city council requests an item to be removed, or someone out there wants an item removed, but you had to do it by 4 p.m.
Then there are no requests from the citizen.
Okay, so is there a motion to approve the consent calendar?
I would make a motion to approve the consent calendar, Mayor.
Second.
Okay, we need a roll call. Chief Ames?
Aye.
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 Aye, thank you. First agenda, regular agenda item is on the Bear Creek Headworks Dam maintenance project.
So the City of Astoria's Bear Creek Dam is a 90-foot concrete dam built in 1912 east of the city. And in 2013, we initiated a seismic failure analysis of the dam. And that study, which has been completed, determined that it does not need to be structurally modified or mitigated to protect against seismic failure in the future. The city does have some remaining work to do on the water system headworks to improve operations and to prevent future dam overtopping events. So to complete the needed repairs, it's recommended by staff that the city execute a contract in the amount of $30,000 to Dam Maintenance Management, which is a firm that specializes in dam rehabilitation. The firm has been recommended by the State of Oregon Water Resources Engineer, and in order to sole source to this firm, our city code requires that an exemption of finding be prepared and a public hearing be conducted before entering into the contract. The draft exemption findings were included in your packet, and tonight it's recommended that the council conduct the public hearing for purposes of taking public comments on the findings for exemption, as well as, if felt appropriate, adopt the findings that authorize the sole sourcing of the goods and services contract with Dam Maintenance Management. So, Mayor, it'd just be appropriate to open the public hearing and see if there are any comments. Jeff Harrington, our city engineer, is here to answer any specific questions on this item.
It's kind of an unfortunate name for a company. Dam Maintenance. Okay. I will open the public hearing. Anyone wish to speak for the item, the Bear Creek Headworks Dam Maintenance public hearing? Anyone wish to speak impartially? Anyone wish to speak against? Okay, could we have a motion?
Mayor, if you would just close the public hearing.
I move we adopt the findings that authorize the sole sourcing of the goods and services contract with Dam Maintenance Management to provide valve repair services for the not to exceed amount of $30,000.
Second.
Okay, and we need a roll call, right? Since it's a...
With this, it's not a resolution that you could have just a regular vote.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. The second agenda item is an amendment to the agreement between Verna S. Euler Aquatic Trust and the City of Astoria.
So on July 5th of last year, Council approved an agreement with the Verna Euler Trust to provide residents living in the southern portion of Pacific County, Washington, access, paid access to the Astoria Aquatic Center. This agreement allows qualifying residents to utilize drop-in and group swim lesson programs. The trust pays the city the full admission costs for each service rendered. While evaluating the first year of the agreement, the managers of the trust brought to city staff's attention that some Pacific County residents are utilizing the aquatic center so frequently that their daily drop-in charges in 1 month's time far exceed the cost for a monthly pass. To sustain the agreement between the trust and the city, managers of the trust have requested that a cap be placed on billing for individuals who visit the center more than 8 times a month. There's a breakdown in terms of what that translates into for the different types of passes for each respective rate. Therefore, it's proposed that once an individual visits the aquatic center for the 8th time within a month, their 8th drop-in charge will be then converted to a monthly pass, which exceeds the amount for each respective, and that includes adult, senior, and youth. It's recommended that the council approve the amendment to the pool use agreement with the Verna S. Euler Aquatic Center Trust, capping the number of visits the trust will be charged for an individual trust member for monthly use of the aquatic center at 8 visits. And again, under this internal policy, their 8th visit would turn into a monthly pass and then be recalculated each month thereafter.
Anyone have any questions? Anyone on the council?
I'm just kind of curious to hear from staff how this idea was reached. You know, is this something that you feel is going to be beneficial? I mean, given our need for money right now, it does sound a little bit strange to give especially non-Astoria residents a bargain right to the pool. So I'm sure you've got a good explanation and I'd love to hear it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yes, it is beneficial to us. Here is why.
is the trust doesn't only partner with the Astoria Aquatic Center. It also partners with the Dunes Pool in Ocean Park up in Washington. And with their evaluation of this first year, they're not only having visitors frequent the Aquatic Center, say 29, 30 days a month, and if you're an adult paying $7.50, that runs up a very large bill. They're also having people do that at the Dunes Pool. And although our pools are quite in distance apart, we do have to, our costs need to be, and our expenses need to be comparable to the Dunes Pool to still be comparable with those services. So we would hate, we did evaluate with the trust, what if we cap it at 8 and we turn away those additional customers then and say, sorry, you've hit your 8, you can no longer come for the remainder of the month. The trust goal is to stay at 8. It's our choice if we want to allow those customers to continue coming after 8 visits or not, but they are absolutely capping it at 8. It was our business choice then to stay competitive with the Dunes Pool to allow those customers to continue to come instead of just attending the Dunes Pool and being able to go as frequently as they want. We would then lose all of that business. So that was my reasoning in it.
And what would the duration of this cap be? I mean, could we get out of it if we changed our fee structure? I mean, I've heard feedback from citizens about, you know, how they don't think that it's fair that Astoria residents pay the same amount that people from outside of Astoria pay for parks and recreation services. And I don't know if that's something that we're ever going to change. But if we did, you know, what would it take to revise this cap?
Absolutely. So the cap is not on a dollar value. It's on a total visit amount. So if the city did decide to move something that you're talking about versus a resident versus non-resident fee, we would need to give the Oler Trust, per our current contract, 30 days written notice to change our fees.
Thank you.
Yep.
Any questions from the audience? Because this is kind of a different arrangement than we've had before. Anyone not know anything about this Verna Oler Trust and be interested in getting a little bit of background? It just was an effort to provide a pool for the folks in Southern Washington, and they have, this trust has been very generous in providing funding for that for their citizens. So yeah, I think it's a benefit to both those residents and to the pool.
Mayor, if you don't mind, if I could ask Ms. Cosby, what would be the expected revenue coming in this next year from the Oler Trust based upon this agreement?
We're near $58,000 to $60,000 annually.
Wow.
So it is in our best interest to keep a good working relationship with them.
Good. Okay. Thank you.
I have just a couple of questions.
Yeah.
To how many people are using it more than 8 times a month? And could you remind us what the monthly pass fee is and how that compares to the 8 times $7.50?
Absolutely. We ran the reports. I don't have the number off the top of my head, but not too many. There is a handful, though, are using it more than 8 times per month. So if, say, me as an adult, if I do a drop-in visit, I pay $7.50. So if I pay that 8 times, it is $60 total that I'd be paying for the month. But then comparatively, that's $10 more. If I have an ACH pass set up with the city, I would be paying $50 a month. So we're still bringing in $10 more than if that individual purchased the monthly pass automatically every month. And then for youth and seniors, we charge $5.50 for a drop-in. 8 times, that's $44. And comparatively, we charge $40 for ACH pass, so it's still $4 more than we would normally receive.
Thank you. Well, I would move that we approve the amendment to the pool use agreement with the Verna S. Oler Aquatic Center Trust, etc.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Thank you. The next is an agreement between the Sunset Empire Parks and Recreation District and the City of Astoria.
So the Sunset Empire Parks and Rec District will be closing the Sunset Pool from October 20th, 2017 through December 3rd, 2017 for repair and renovation. Due to this duration, the Sunset Empire Parks and Rec District has sought to provide an alternative facility to its members for aquatic and fitness use. The Sunset Empire District has contacted our staff to partner in providing these services to the pre-registered members of Sunset Empire Parks and Recreation District. The Sunset Empire District will pay the City of Astoria the full admission cost for each service rendered during this time. It's recommended that Council approve the pool use agreement with the Sunset Empire Parks and Recreation District. And again, if there are any questions, staff can assist, and we have folks maybe in the audience who could answer questions as well.
Okay. Yeah. I guess I have a question. I know that many times it's very hard to get a lane, for instance. And is this going to impact, I would think it would, the ability to reserve a lane or use a lane for lap swimming?
Sure. My response would be, it depends on what time of day you come. Typically during the months we're talking about, October to December, starting mid-November through December, January, just because it's swim team season, is when we see the most congestion for lanes, and that's typically between 4 p.m. and 7 p.m. So I would, even without this agreement, I would encourage residents, if you want a lane all to yourself and you don't want to circle swim or share, don't come between 4 and 7 p.m. Come between 1 and 4 p.m. is a great time. I hope our attendance goes up because of this, and I hope our revenue does too. I don't see that problem really escalating much, though. We will be talking to the high school swim team down there for Seaside, and that might create more of the challenges, but we're going to try to offset that and have teams practice at different times of days.
Okay. Thank you. Anyone else? Do you have a question?
I move that we approve the agreement between Sunset Empire Park and Rec and City of Astoria Parks.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Thank you. Okay, and the last item on our regular agenda is a summary of Arbor Pro Incorporated's tree inventory and condition services.
So our City Parks Department conducted a tree inventory this last year, and it has been presented to the Parks Board. And to be able to wrap up this project, tonight we're just having a presentation of the product which was developed for the tree inventory. And Jonah Dart McLean, who is with our Parks Department, is going to be giving that presentation.
Hey. So yeah, I'm Jonah Dart McLean. Thank you guys for having me tonight. I'm the Parks Maintenance Supervisor. And like Brett said, we contracted Arbor Pro, who is a company out of Southern California, and they did a full inventory of all of our parks trees and park areas. So areas that were heavily forested, instead of being surveyed individually, they used a sampling method where they took a sample of a particular area, say off of Cathedral Tree Trail, and then were able to produce a mappable polygon that then had all the information encapsulated in that summarized. So just right off the bat, on the left side here of the screen, it shows the tree condition by color of our entire inventory of 1,860 trees. And you can see that it's a whole lot of green at the top. It represents good, which is almost 40%, and then the next kind of lighter shade of green would be fair, which is almost 47%, and then the bottom colors, yellow, would be poor. Critical is that one red triangle, and then the two black ones represent about 2% of our inventory that's dead standing trees. So it's a great starting point, actually. It's pleasantly surprising to see such a large area that everybody knows we have within our park system and has not been actively managed, most of it, that we're fortunate to have some pretty healthy trees and good stuff to work with. That inventory, it's a clickable database, and each point on the database, which I'll show you in a bit, breaks down species, height, condition of the tree, recommendation from the arborist, a growth forecast based on the proximity of the tree to infrastructure or equipment or just other factors that may become a problem as the tree grows. Photo, which is really important, and able to doing maintenance tasking where we can easily identify a tree in the field with an actual picture of its environment. And then an estimated dollar value, and that's based on a formula called the trunk value, or trunk method formula, which is it just kind of a suggested price of how much the tree basically is as a tree or would cost to replace it, so the size of it or how much work it would be to replace it and grow to that size. And so all of this kind of brings us a snapshot of what our urban ecosystem throughout our parks are, or at least this big component of it, because trees make up a large part of how other parts of vegetation and animals and humans all interact in this area. So the maintenance recommendations, basically in three broad categories of prune, remove, or monitor, and then in the prune and remove categories, there's different tiers of activities. So you can see within the pruning category, we've got priority one prune, priority two prune, which would basically be pruning for the canopy of a tree that has either mechanical or some sort of disease or insect-related damage that would cause parts of the branches to be a hazard. Priority one and two would be the amount of risk involved if the tree was to not be maintained or managed. And then large and routine, large and small routine pruning would be pruning to balance or manage a canopy of a fairly healthy tree, and large and small is indicating the size of the actual tree itself. So a large tree would be something you need an aerial lift or some kind of large climbing apparatus that we'd probably contract out. Small routine prune is something that we could probably handle in-house to some degree off a ladder or off the ground. And then training prune would be managing young trees as they mature to make sure that they're growing in a way that's beneficial and easily maintained into the future. So as our older trees age out and need to be removed, we've got a healthy, viable trees for the future. And that goes with the removal. Those three tiers of one, two, and three, again, speak to the amount of damage or weakness in the tree structure, and then also taking into account the amount of risk if the tree was not to be addressed. So you could have a weak tree in the middle of the forest that's not necessarily a priority one. You could have a not so weak tree in the middle of a park that maybe needs to be addressed sooner, based on the amount of risk involved. This is just an example of a sheet from the ArborPro software. So that's a tree just outside of Astoria Brewing on Marine Drive. And it's a dynamic program for ongoing tree care and maintenance. So all of those fields on the left are all editable and updatable. And just to show you a closer view of that, there's also a tab for work history at the top. And then different drop-down menus for condition and recommended maintenance. The hardscape, which would be what is around that tree. In that case, it's, you know, planter. The species and Latin name. And then on the bottom right corner there, it says the value, which again is just kind of a suggested amount. This is a map of our entire in-town area of trees. And you can see, so all the green you see is an actual clickable item that you could zoom in on and say, like in the bottom left-hand corner there, Tapiola Park, each of those dots represents every tree within the park. And just some quick benefits of what trees bring to our community. I think it's pretty well established that we are in favor of trees and that it's a resource we need to have for the future. So with improved health in terms of people going outside and exercising, they're more comfortable around trees. The improved mental health of that as well is increased real estate values, both near parks and then on tree streets. Improved air and water quality and energy savings if trees are nearby buildings, something that can lower heating costs. Why inventory our trees? So we have a lot of different reasons of doing this. For designating heritage or significant trees, say the Big Leaf Maple in Wolfland Park that we chose to structurally assist about a year ago. It's an important part of park maintenance plans, which was a recommendation from our park, our comprehensive park master plan. So having an individualized park maintenance plan for each park, part of that is managing all the resources within that, including our trees. So having that baseline data to then be able to work off of is incredibly important. I mean, that's intelligent stewardship of our natural resources that we are stewards of, owning 1,800 plus trees. And then a lot of future grant opportunities from this inventory are available to us through Tree Cities USA and the Arbor Foundation and other groups that are promoting tree values. So our next steps, working through ground truthing, our tree inventory, so that's providing updates, clarifications, working on work orders to address trees of different priorities for removal or pruning, creating the tree management plan to establish criteria for our future actions, so that we've got a guidebook of how we move forward when we have tree issues or we have to make decisions about trees where we've got other projects going on that may impact them. The active care of our trees that we have between contracting out work that we're not able to do in-house and then being able to do routine maintenance and care, again, through that tree management plan of having a set schedule and timeline. And then also continually updating our tree inventory to make sure that our record keeping is accurate and the documents we have stay dynamic, because everybody knows trees are not going to be the same next year or even next week. There's always going to be a change occurring in these living organisms. So our immediate steps, this is a big map you can see in the left corner there is Ocean View Cemetery, and then the rest of the Astoria inventory minus the River Falls. But all those red dots are either priority one, priority two, or training prune trees. So that'd be the younger, immature trees that, in addition to these higher priority removals, we also need to be thinking about in the short term how we're going to make sure that trees, like say in the garden surging waves, are becoming successful so that we're not having to deal with future growth issues or having to carry out more removals or drastic prunings than we need to do to save us money and time. So, any questions?
I just wanted to comment that I thought the report that they did was superb. ArborCare, I was amazed at all the charts and the, it was really wonderful. And I guess my only question would be, do we have the staff to carry out all this work?
Sure, well, we do, we have got options, you know, for the higher risk or higher complication ArborCare, we're probably never gonna be at the point where we could do a lot of that. But with our new grounds coordinator, we will be filling that position. Part of their requirement is having an arborist certification after 18 months. So that would be about March 2019. And then I've got a background in forestry too. So we've got a pretty good baseline knowledge of being able to work on the manageable stuff that we can do in-house. And that's gonna be something that we'll have to grow with, you know, as our plans move forward too.
And Mayor, I'd also add, as a part of this year's budget, we also have money which is included in the budget to start implementing this plan. So we knew that this was going to be coming online, and throughout the budget process, we put some money aside to be able to do some of this work.
If I could add an additional fact in there, currently, say in windstorms or even sometimes without a windstorm, we do lose numerous trees a year. The priority one and two removal trees that have been identified, they're identified at such a risk hazard that it's not an option to take them out. We're gonna be taking them out in the next month or two and replanting with another tree. So hopefully we can keep all of our trees succinct and moving along. Those have been paid annually out of the hazardous tree removal fund. So it's not essentially always new. We're gonna be playing catch up for probably a year or two, and then hopefully we'll see those costs decrease as well, because we'll be addressing them before the fact.
Any other questions?
Thanks for the update, Jonah.
Yeah.
That was a great presentation, and it seems like you guys are doing a really good job being proactive about managing the trees, and I'm glad to hear some positive news from the Parks Department. You know, it's been a big focus at meetings lately, giving you guys more money. And I hope that with some of the changes that we voted on, things are going to get better for you. And systematically, it looks like you guys are doing a really great job making some improvements. This is a great example. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, that's exactly what we're trying to do, is be intelligent about the resources that we have to.
Thank you.
One question. Some years ago, I forget what her name is, Kristen Rasmussen maybe, came to us and wanted Astoria to become a Tree City USA. Would there be benefits to doing that?
Yeah, there is. I mean, it's a good, like, public relations, definitely. It makes us stand out. I don't know off the top of my head how many tree cities there are in Oregon or in our areas, but I would guess there are not a lot, you know, immediately near us. So that would be good. And then just also, that's another window into more grant opportunities, is having that credential, basically. So it definitely is something that would be good to pursue.
It's also looking at the same time what sort of requirements are required for spending money and having staffing, and if this all of a, if this Tree City USA designation all of a sudden places additional requirements on us. I think that we may be getting closer to where we are than where we were a few years ago. And it's something we can take a look at once again. But I want to make sure that we're not getting a designation that puts some, in this time of transition with the Parks Department, putting some onerous requirements on us that that kind of send us sideways while we're rebuilding the department.
Thank you very much, Joe. Appreciate it. That ends our regular agenda, so this is your time. If you have anything that you would like to share with the council, questions, criticisms, applause, anything. Anybody have any comments?
Mayor, I just have the one item I'd just like to be able to bring up.
Sure.
So the Public Works Department has been working on the waterfront bridge replacement project, and that's the replacement of the bridges along the Columbia River between 6th and 11th Streets. And we've been working on design issues and working with ODOT on some coordination of this effort. We're at a point where we're needing to finalize construction easements that are required on private property to be able to do this project. And there's some work that's going to need to be done here pretty soon that is requiring that City Council put in place some processes for us to be able to acquire these easements. We asked whether or not we could wait until your first meeting in September, and ODOT has told us that we actually need to have City Council action before then to avoid a delay on the project. So I'm having to ask if there is a way that we could look at having a special meeting, you know, ideally, you know, later on this week. Looking at maybe, I'm going to say probably the preferred day would be Thursday of this week, if at all possible. If we could do it at noontime. I know that not everyone may have their calendars with them, but at least if I could just kick this out and say Thursday noon, if that was doable.
It's okay with me.
It's good with me.
That works.
Okay.
I'm the one that doesn't have my calendar, but I can call you soon.
Sure. We'll do that, and we'll once we get that confirmed, we will let you know, and we will be getting a memorandum out in advance for this as well, so that you have some time to look over it, because it's there's some going to be some complexities to it, but I wanted to at least try to get that done this week so that Cindy Moore can proceed on with ODOT. So. Okay, we'll circle back and let you know.
Okay. Thank you all for coming. We appreciate your being here. This meeting is adjourned.